Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So many parents, my parents that I know, my friends, and also just a lot of you on here are wanting to know and get advice on how to talk to your kids about tragedy, how to talk to them about gun violence. There have been a ton of posts on social media just all about, you know, kids are listening, kids that are young, and also kids that are in elementary school and in high school, how to help them cope with these things, deal with these things, process these things, and how to talk about them in your homes. And I thought that was a really good subject, and also to enlist the help of a wonderful pediatrician to get her advice and her thoughts on how to communicate these things as parents, and also just as people to little children who are listening and also absorbing a lot of the conversations that are going on, whether it's in homes or socially or in schools or just seeing what's going on in the world. So we're going to talk about that. There have been a lot of people who have asked based on things that I've posted about different ways to communicate with your children, variety of ages, and also just communicate about the subject in general to little ones. So we're going to talk about that. It's unfortunate that we even need to have this conversation. It's a lot of things that need to be changed, and I won't make this a political thing necessarily. However, I will say that there are amazing organizations that I will list later in this video when I reshare it. I've listed a ton already for people who want to take immediate action to help create a better world for our children to grow up in. And a couple of those organizations, just to list them off, Moms Demand Action and Everytown. I've reshared a ton of information and resources that they have posted. Texting READY to 64433 is something that you can do immediately. There's obviously a ton of other amazing organizations like Sandy Hook Promise, Scarlett Lewis's Choose Love Movement. I love Scarlett Lewis, so she is amazing. March 4th, Giffords Courage, Gabby Giffords organization, and also Save the Children has amazing resources in addition to what we're going to talk about today, just on talking to your kids when they ask questions, making them aware of what's going on in the world, and also just being prepared, even if it hasn't come up for you yet, if you have kids that you know of that might ask you about these things. So with that being said, we'll dive right into this. Thank you so much for taking time. I know that we were originally planning on talking about a variety of other things, which we will come back and do. But I saw your post this week that was giving tips to parents just about, you know, talking to their kids about tragedy. And I feel like it's, you know, obviously with what's gone on this week, it's a really important conversation to have right now with you, and also get your words of wisdom and your advice for so many parents. I feel like the number one, you know, of course, everybody wants to jump into action. People are angry. People want to make themselves useful with, you know, creating change. And there are a lot of people who are parents who, you know, want to be able to be prepared and given the tools and resources to feel comfortable having conversations, unfortunately, with their children about tragedy, about violence, gun violence, and what's going on in our country. So I saw your post about it, which I shared, and I will reshare again just because it's really helpful for so many people. I know that my friends who are parents have the exact same concern about how to tackle this subject, and also what to say, what not to say, and also just being, I think, gentle with yourself as a parent in this time, because it is such a crazy, devastating time that I think everybody's just trying to do their best with how to navigate it as parents and with their children when it comes to conversations around this. So I'm grateful that you are taking the time to share your expertise in the space as a pediatrician. But before we get started, maybe you just introduce yourself to people who might be seeing you for the first time. And I also encourage everybody to go follow you because you talk about a variety of different things that are really easily digestible as a parent. And today obviously is a special subject that we're going to be talking about, but your page is really user-friendly. As a new parent, I found it to be very welcoming and encouraging, but maybe you can just introduce yourself before we jump right into
it. I'm so glad to be here. I mean, not glad to be talking about this, but I think it's important. So my name is Dr. Playforth. I'm a board certified pediatrician and a mom of three kids aged 8, 5, and 20 months. And I started the pediatrician mom because I felt like there is actually so much information for our generation of parents, but anyone can put anything on the internet. And it's hard to know what information is evidence-based and safe and accurate. And so I wanted to create just a practical, user-friendly, sort of approachable, accessible resource that addressed a lot of the questions that we have as parents. And a lot of it comes actually from my own questions as a parent. You would think as a pediatrician that you're an expert, you know all this stuff, right? But like, that's not what it really is like when you are in it, in the trenches, making those same decisions, thinking about something like this. You know, I have kids that span a range, and how do I actually talk to them about this? Writing the post a couple days ago, it was sort of reframed from a prior post that I'd written, but I write these things because it's a way for me to help process my thoughts and to think about concrete, accessible ways that I'm going to approach some of these things with my own kids. And so I just wanted to share that. And I hope that it decreases parents' anxiety and helps with that middle of the night, like Google's search spiral that everybody, including me, we all do it. We all do it.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
It's a relief to hear that you also do the same kind of searching and have the same curiosity because you are a parent, of course, and you're also a board certified pediatrician. So you have a lot of awareness of a variety of different subjects and also just like knowledge about all things children and being a parent. And then also just like being a parent to three different children yourself. I've watched you experience and navigate a variety of different things as a mom. And so it's encouraging to me to like see that part of your life in addition to, of course, like the professional part of it, just being like, you know, you're just a regular mom as well. And that there are a lot of things that come along with that, that are just like, you know, you're just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. And doing the best that you can. So I appreciate your kind of your expertise that you offer and also your kind of being very realistic about, you know, what motherhood is like, what parenthood is like, and just trying to do your best as you kind of navigate that with three different children,
three different
ages, and
different things. Yep.
Exactly. So I think that's really awesome. And when it comes to, you know, the subject of tragedy and kind of navigating that, let's talk a little bit about, I know that you're kind of the post that I had, you know, referred to originally was something that was kind of an older post that unfortunately we've had to kind of bring back up again. In your practice and just, you know, in life in general, is this a, this must be like a subject that parents are coming to you and wanting to know how to navigate as parents and just like this new kind of territory, unfortunately, of like how to have those kinds of conversations with children of all different ages, because I had seen, you know, parents are talking about how to have these conversations with your children and also like at what age that starts, because kids, as so many people say, like kids are listening, even though you might not think that they understand what's going on. If you're watching the news or you're talking to your spouse or to your friends about certain things that are going on in the world, kids are listening to that and they're taking that on, and how to have those kinds of conversations and being mindful of kind of like what you're talking about and also like what you're watching, the news you're taking in their presence. So let's kind of dive into how to,
I think it's just really important to be aware of exactly that. You know, kids are, kids of different ages are absorbing things in different ways and are retaining the information in different ways, but they don't always have the context, right? So if you hear the phrase school shooting and you have a preschooler and then like an eight-year-old, an elementary schooler, like what they're understanding from that, what they may take from that phrase might be entirely different compared to what a teenager might take from that. A lot of people have sort of a default. You just put the news on in the background or you just have the TV on like while you're making dinner, and what media and news coverage has an incentive to keep replaying stuff, obviously because different people are tuning in at different times, but also because repetitive coverage, sensationalist coverage, that is a bit, that's media coverage, that's their model, right? And so if you have something like that on in the background and you have a young child, it's really easy for them to just assume, oh, this is something that's just happening over and over again. An adult or even a teenager might understand this is repetitive coverage, but you have to have a little bit of context to understand that. And if you're not aware of that and thinking about that, then you are not able to provide that context for your younger child. I think also when you're talking to family members, you know, I got a phone call about this topic from a friend yesterday, and it was very tempting to talk, and my kids would only hear like my side of the conversation. But obviously certain trigger words are going to come up, certain scary words are going to come up. And it's important to know that they are hearing those words. And my job is to provide context for that, because they're not going to get that anywhere else.
Right. At what age is it, I mean, from your point of view, what age is it best to start being aware of those things? You know, obviously, like we talk a lot about, you know, talking to kids, reading to children from the very beginning. And then when you're talking about something that, as you were saying, has scarier words involved, or you know, even your body energy, your mannerism, like everything shifts when you're talking about something that's as intense and serious as what we're talking about now. So is there a specific age that you should be more mindful of what you talk about?
I think you hit the nail on the head. There's two different levels to be thinking about here. One is the actual information, right? And I think school age kids, especially if it is something that they might hear about in school, so, you know, age five, kindergarten and up, you do want to be able to provide that information to those children who might hear it or might be doing drills and things like that in school. But for children who are younger, particularly three and under, they may really not have much understanding of what you're saying. But even infants pick up on our body language and our levels of anxiety. You know, if you're stressed out and anxious, if you're spiraling and panicking, which is totally appropriate when you see coverage about something like this, when you hear about something like this, even a young infant is going to pick up on that. And they may not know why, but they may think, okay, there's something to be stressed out about here. So like their like vibration changes as well. And so if you're talking about exactly the information that you need to share, I would say school age and up is where you want to start thinking about how you're going to do that, where they may hear it from somebody else. Kids who are in daycare, kids who are maybe four and up, like maybe a little bit, but you want to keep things very matter of fact and just answer questions. You don't need that much information. But then from three and under, it's more about how you're behaving and what other words they might just be hearing. They might also hear it from older siblings, which is also worth keeping in mind.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think of, you know, elementary yeah. school kids going to school, a five-year-old in kindergarten going to school, hearing something, is it better, in your opinion, to talk to kids before they hear about something or just wait until they come home and say that they've heard something? Because, of course, you know, some scenarios, maybe yeah. grades are separated more in certain schools. So maybe necessarily a kindergartner wouldn't hear about something. Maybe they would. And then, you know, they could kind of mm-hmm. never hear about something at the age of five and wait until they're in first grade or, you know, whatever the situation is. But is that something that you would advise parents having a conversation before kids come to
them? I do think that it's important to be having these conversations preemptively, but you know your kid best. And so you know exactly where they are developmentally and how they might need to hear some of this information. You know, a kindergartner may not hear it from a kindergartner peer who is like the same, sort of has the same sibling structure, same family structure. But if they have an older sibling who's like in elementary school, maybe that older sibling lets some words slip. And then that information is then translated to your kindergartner who really has no context for that information. I think it's important for things like race, for things like tragedy, to provide some context preemptively. Now, my opinion is my opinion on this. I think there are other people that would say otherwise. This week, my kids are on spring break, so I know they're not hearing this from anyone else. And I have been very tempted right. not to share the information with my five-year-old, who's still in preschool, he's not in kindergarten yet, because I feel like he has 2 weeks before he goes back to school, and I think maybe he's not going to hear about it. But he might hear about it from his sister. So we are going to have a little conversation. We're just going to keep it very, very, very brief. But I haven't had the conversation yet because I feel like, you know, in medicine, we say you've got to check your own pulse first before you go into a code. Like in lay language, it's similar to what you say on an airplane, right? Like put on your own oxygen mask first. I needed to get myself calm mm-hmm. and matter of fact before I was able to have that conversation. Now, if my kids were in school this week, I probably would have had it already. But I would have had it in a mm-hmm. context individually, probably, because the information that you give an 8-year-old is different than the information you give a 5-year-old. I would have had it individually in a safe space, not right before bed when like they're already a little bit anxious anyway. But I would have it preemptively. I think it's important to provide that context yourself.
When you're thinking of having, I think that that's a really important statement. I mean, kind of checking our self and also our energy before having a conversation, especially if it's about, you know, something like tragedy or gun violence. That's a very, mm-hmm. you know, intense subject to be having a conversation with children about. So being able to come at it, and kids, of course, pick up our energy as parents and how to respond to something. So if you're coming at it in a kind of cool or calmer way, that is, you know, allowing kids to ask questions and not be so anxious about it. When you think about having a conversation with your 5-year-old about tragedy in general, what is kind of, for people who might have kids in the same age area as you do, 5 and then 8. So it's obviously different when, you know, how you're going to talk to those two different age groups. But if for kids who are in the 5 to 6 age group, how do you envision yourself, if you have thought about it, having that conversation or starting that conversation?
I would probably just start with, you know, I want to talk to you about something that happened. It happened in a place that's far away. Preschoolers are very concrete, and so abstract information can be a little hard for them to grasp. I might just give them the bare bones facts. So I might say, you know, someone went into a school and, you know, hurt a lot of people, and I might not even necessarily take it to the level of a shooting. Just because I'm not sure that that information necessarily adds a whole lot. But if I feel like they might hear that, then I might say, mm-hmm. you know, they shot a lot of people or some people got hurt. Just very, very minimal, matter of fact, without embellishment. Mm-hmm. I think for my 8-year-old, I'd probably give more facts. But again, they're still fairly abstract at that point. They're fairly concrete at that point. And so what I don't want is for a child to hear something like that and think, oh, that's going to happen in my school. That's going to happen to me. One of the things that came up in the comments of my post yesterday, I had said in the post that one of your goals is to remind your child that they're safe. And a lot of people commented, and I think it's very valid. How do I tell my child they're safe if I don't think they're safe? And that's when I was writing it, I was actually thinking about the same thing. So I've been like pondering that since I wrote it. I think it's important to keep some context as a parent as well. Firearm injuries surpass motor vehicle accidents as the most common cause of death in children and adolescents in this country in 2020. So that means a child in the U.S. is more likely to die from a gunshot wound than they are to die from cancer or COVID or a car accident. When you hear something like that, you think, oh, that means my child is more likely to die in a mass shooting event than in any of these other contexts. And that's not the case. So it is important to know these things are terrifying, but they are rare. I don't mean to minimize it. They are not rare enough. We absolutely should be making them. I mean, they should never happen, right? But it is still rare. The likelihood of this happening to a child, your child in their school, is still statistically very, very low. That fact helps me calm down enough to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to like dealing with parents' anxiety, because I think that, you know, a lot of my friends have children that are younger, and some have kids that are being sent to either daycare or to preschool, being dropped off, or even elementary school. And you have a lot of parents, you know, looking at what's going on. And like you were saying in your posts, parents saying, I'm supposed to be able to feel comfortable and confident in sending my kid to school, thinking they're going to be safe, thinking they're going to be. And, you know, the parents who sent their kids to school on Monday in Tennessee also thought that their kids were going to be safe and be able to be picked up from school. So, you know, there is context, and then there also is a lot of fear and anxiety that is, you know, with parents who, you know, send their kids to a private Christian school like this one and think that everything was going to be fine, and it was not. So I think that also, you know, the parents' anxiety, I'm sure that you're dealing with also as a pediatrician, how to balance that, how to manage that, and also
we have this evolutionary drive to protect our children no matter what, right? So I cannot, I mean, I feel it too. There's a part of me that just wants to keep my children at home and never let them go anywhere. And just that way I can guarantee that they're safe.
Right.
I think if you think about a car accident, like cars are not entirely safe, right? Like it's not risk-free, but we know that our kids have to be in cars to go places. So we do everything we can to mitigate the risk in a car. We put them in car seats. We follow the road rules, all of us. I think what's particularly stressful and scary about this type of event is it doesn't feel like you can mitigate the risk. It doesn't feel like there's much you can do. And so you feel helpless and hopeless. But I have to believe that no matter what anybody's politics are, no parent wants to be that parent. And so all of us can come together and we can work together to do something about this. But it's really normal. We have this primal, it is a primal drive to feel anxious about something like this. I think that if you find that you are getting to the point where you're trying to limit your child's activities, your own activities, you are not able to sleep, this is interfering with your day-to-day ability to function, it is really important to seek help. You are not the only one feeling this way, but getting help. I talk to parents about this all the time in practice, you know, that part of putting your own oxygen mask on first is making sure that you are getting the resources and the help that you need to then be a safe, stable space for your child to have these conversations.
What about children's anxiety? Because I think that, you know, when we're talking to a five-year-old, that's one thing. And how much information you give to a five-year-old about what's going on in the world or what, you know, happened this week is one conversation. As kids get older, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, that's a whole different conversation. They're, you know, talking about different things with their peers. They are, if there are older siblings involved, if, you know, depending on even the parents, like these are, you know, every single set of parents at school or individual parent has different views about all of these different things and issues that are going on in our country. And so when you have kids or when you send your child to school and they have a conversation with another kid, you want to be able to, you know, give them the tools that they need to, you know, be prepared to maybe have conversations like this or also deal with perhaps having anxiety about what they're hearing at school and not being able to necessarily digest all the information that is being kind of thrown at them. Do you see that a lot with children that are, you know, in elementary school or even in high school dealing with anxiety about, you know,
absolutely
being in a situation like that?
And I think more in elementary school and high school than with the younger children, because they are able to then translate that, you know, they understand more about what these drills are about and they've received more information. I think it's important to keep checking in with your child. The level of anxiety, the level of mental health concerns that we're seeing post-pandemic is skyrocketing. And then in the aftermath of things like this, obviously, they should be able to feel like when they go to school that they are safe. And this rocks that the bedrock of that belief. And so I think checking in with them, having these conversations in layered ways. So checking in, asking what they know, but then not sort of having the conversation and then moving on. This is going to be a conversation that you need to have, even not in the aftermath of an event like this. It's a conversation you kind of want to keep going back to, not to increase the anxiety, but to remind them of the structures that are in place to keep them safe. And to pay attention, you might see, they may not be able to tell you, oh, I'm feeling anxious about this. They may not have the language to tell you that. But if you know your child, you can tell if things are not quite right. You know, if they're suddenly not sleeping as well, if they're acting out, you're seeing more behavioral problems, more concentration issues. These, anything like that, that feels to you like it's a little bit of a departure from what is baseline for your child is worth noting and is worth seeking help for sooner rather than later. We're not talking today about the challenge of finding mental health resources for your child in this country, which is, there's, you know, can be very hard to do, but your pediatrician should be your first step there. And they should be able to help direct you to resources in your community. Your school counselors may be able to direct you as well. I think being open to your child getting help and having conversations, learning the tricks and resources that they need to help them manage some of those big feelings is so critically important. And it is our job as parents to help find those resources for our kids, because they may not know even to ask for them.
I think also, you know, one of the things that, and one of the reasons that I thought your post was so important was it's also giving all of us as parents the tools that we need to be equipped with to have these conversations, which is not anything that any of us are comfortable talking about or used to talking about. And, you know, being able to have accounts like yours, there are a variety of different accounts also that are, you know, putting really helpful information about specific subjects on how to have those conversations and how parents to feel prepared so you're not caught off guard as a parent to have these kinds of conversations. So I think that that's also really helpful to, you know, maybe your kid hasn't asked you about it, or maybe you haven't had that conversation yet, but still being mindful and aware of that could be coming. That's coming down.
You know, because tragedy, this is one type of tragedy, but tragedy, things happen in everybody's lives. And so at some point you are going to have hard conversations with your kids. So knowing how to do that is important.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, it's definitely important as parents to be able to be equipped with those tools. And then of course, to be able to pass those tools on to your children on how to, you know, manage that and check in about that is really important. Thank you so much for all of this information. I'm really grateful that you shared it. We're going to make sure to, you know, link to all of your information, your post, and we'll also put a bunch of resources and amazing organizations who are doing incredible work. I know that it's a lot of, as you said, it's our first instinct as parents to want to protect our children. And also for a lot of people, it's the desire to jump into action and find a way to be useful and helpful to create change. And we will be able to, you know, continue to reshare and post great organizations doing incredible work for you to jump in and take action to help, and also put all of that in the newsletter that will come later today, not only about the information that you've shared and all the great work you're doing, but also just all the organizations who are doing great work for people to kind of jump right in and
I think
and help create change. So.
One very practical way that I'm anticipating having this conversation with my 8-year-old, which I think hopefully some of your viewers will find useful. This didn't come from me. I got this idea from Melinda Moyer, who is a journalist who has written a great book and has written some articles on this. But I think part of what we're going to talk about is what layered structures are in place to keep her safe at school. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the way she described it is you draw a stick figure of your kid on a piece of paper, you sit down, you talk to them, and then you say, okay, this is you. Tell me who's in your life to keep you safe. Who is there to keep you safe at school? And then you draw stick figures of all those people around your child or above your child. And it's a very visual representation. So, you know, teachers, parents, police, fire department. And it's a very visual representation. My child is quite visual. And I think having that picture in her mind will help with her anxiety as she encounters this situation again and again. Like things like that, finding what works for your kid is so important. I think I appreciate so much that you are highlighting this topic. And I hate that this is even something we're thinking about, but it is something what is our reality right now.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that that's a great tip to kind of give to parents who are dealing with children who have the ability to digest that. I think the visual component is really helpful and important, and especially kids who might be more anxious than others about this subject and really taking it on. That's a great lesson, and we'll make sure to share all of that
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again so much.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry, no tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.